Lord, we thank you so much that we have our confidence firmly secure in you, Lord. We give our lives to you and we surrender to you, Lord. And before we get into the message tonight, that you just would show us your way, cleanse our hearts, forgive us of our sins, and let us just push restart tonight. And you say that you make all things new and that your mercies are new every day. And I thank you so much that you deal with us in regards to our forgiveness and the blood of Jesus Christ, and not according to our sin, Lord. And we thank you for that, the amazing grace that you bestow upon us each and every day, continually, Lord. And it melts our hearts, God. And it shows us how much you love us and how valuable we are to you. And so tonight, Lord, let us just come to your word as seekers, that you say that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you, Lord. And so let us just gear our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have to say to us tonight, Lord. Let us be mindful of the things of the Spirit now. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so turn your Bibles to Psalm 66. And we started that psalm last week, and we made it to verse 12. And the psalm is dealing with praise. And I really hope that since we met last week, that you have had opportunities to put into practice what we talked about last week. And if you hadn't and haven't, and you kind of forgot about it, then we're going to talk about that more tonight. And I want to encourage you to just take stock in what we're saying, what the Word is saying, what God is revealing to us, and be doers of the Word, and just start praising God. Because it's really a lifestyle. It's something that we get used to. It's something that we get into. It's something that we will find and realize sets the tone for our relationship with God, our attitude, how we start our day in the morning, and how we see life, really. The Bible speaks so much about praise. And as Christians, this is one of the benefits, the advantages that we have, that we can truly praise God for real things. We're not wishful thinking people. We're not delusions of grandeur people. We're not people who, if we think hard enough and positively enough, that'll come into reality. We are people praising God because He is true, He is right, He is holy, He is in control, He is sovereign, and He's working how many things together for good? That's right, all. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? He's working all things together for good to those who know Him and are called according to His purposes. Don't forget that last part, who are called according to His purposes. So as we look at praise, last week, we kind of pointed out some things that we can specifically praise God for. The first thing that we looked at is we can praise God for His name. No matter what's going on in our life, no matter how things look, we can always praise God for His name. And His name means so much. His name means He's peace. He's provider. He's what? What else? Healer. Redeemer. Comforter. Banner. Lots of stuff. That's important. His name means so much. Who He is, that's what His name represents, who He is and what He represents in our life. And then we looked at how we can always praise God for His work. We can look at the work of God in creation. It's one of my favorite things to do. Praise Him for that. It's always in front of us, always reminding us that, wow, God, you're awesome. And you know the difference between us and someone who's into nature that's not a believer is we don't worship and praise the creation. The creation speaks of the Creator. That's what's so cool about it. So when you see an awesome sunset, it should remind you of how awesome God is and how amazing His work is and who He is. But not only that, as we think about God's work, we can remember how He works in our own life, how He's worked in history, how He's worked in and through His Word, fulfilling every bit of it. So those are things that we can praise God for. And then we looked at how we can praise God for His rule, that He is over all the rulers of the world, that we don't have to hang our hats on who's in office and who's not in office and what policy is happening, what's not, because He's in charge of everything. And He appoints leaders for His purposes. Think about that. Yeah. He appoints them for His purposes. He is in total control. And as we look at the Bible, we see him fulfilling His word, bringing things to a head. And so we praise God for that. And then we looked at how we can praise God for His security, that they we are secure in God, that we can rest in His hands, that He is a God who cares, which is something we're going to talk about a little bit more later. And then the fifth thing is that we can praise God for His plan. His plan is perfect. And so we're going to just sort of backtrack just a little bit and ramp up for what we're going to talk about tonight. So we're talking about praise. So look at verse 10. And this has some bearing on what we're going to look at in the next chapter. So that's why I wanted to go to verse 10. He says, "For you, O God, you have tested us." So you might want to just make a real point of that. Because God will test us. You have tested us. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of being a Christian. And you have refined us as silver is refined. So there's why God tests us. He's refining us. He's bringing out the impurities of our faith and our loves and our security and all that. He's purifying that. That hurts a little bit, doesn't it? That's not really something that feels really good. It kind of hurts. So this is the blessing of some of the pain that we go through as Christians. So he says, "You brought us into the net." So God, like Jesus, leads us sometimes into places to be tested, right? It's a shocking verse to read Matthew chapter 4 and said it, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted. The Holy Spirit led him to do that. Interesting how the Spirit works. And I think that's something, as a church body, something that we really have to understand and know, the importance of being led by the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit is completely off the charts of anything that's normal in the human realm. Jesus was led by the Spirit to be tested. And then after he was tested, then the angels came and ministered to him. Satan was attacking him. And then it said the Spirit, Jesus went to preach in the power of the Spirit. So the Spirit leads him to be tested, and then he leads him in power to go preach and share the gospel and minister. And that's being led by the Spirit. There's not a formula for that. There's not a book about that. There's not a way to bottle that, because as the Spirit leads, it's unconventional, and he's always leading us in the ways of God. And so that's to me something that, as a church and as an individual Christian, that we need to get a hold of and understand so much, the leading, guiding, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he is what brings forth the spiritual fruit in and through our life. So he brings them into a net. Part of being a Christian. And then he lays affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. You know, when you get mad at the boss or somebody treating you unfairly, and have you ever thought maybe God is allowing that for your benefit? So he does that. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, and you brought us out to rich fulfillment. Just, that's the payoff, if you will. There's a payoff to our suffering and our trials. So that's where we left off last week. So now look at verse 13. He says, I will go into your house with burnt offerings, and I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I want you to circle that word trouble. So far we've maybe circled tested and we've circled trouble. And he says, I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. So what's going on here? So you notice as God has brought them through the affliction, taken them out of the fire and the water and the net and the trouble, that there the payoff was that God brought them through that, and there was a quality, a characteristic that God blessed him with through all that that made him want to offer things to God. So when he talks about burnt offerings and things like that, those were, of course, Old Testament sacrifices that they would do, and these would be a way of offering things to God. So this is how praise works. So praise works in God working in us to bring out praise. That's what afflictions are all about, and trouble, and God allowing us to go through things. Because the end of that, when God brings us through, we have praise on our lips and a desire to want to give to God. So in a way, this suggests also that had we not gone through the testing, not gone through the trial, not had things in our life where we have to completely depend on God of getting us out of the net and the fire and the water and the trouble, that all we have is our prayers and our faith and our trust in God. And when we see God deliver us from those things, we praise him. And it's true that the people that in life that have been delivered much are often those who praise much. So again, I want you to see that we need affliction. We need this trouble. And we should not be afraid or scared or resistant to the things that God brings us into, because ultimately they're bringing things that we can't even imagine. We wouldn't even have known how great it is to have praise on our lips had we not gone through times that showed us those things and showed us how great affliction and suffering is because of the intimacy and the connection that we have with God that we could never have without those afflictions. So keep that in mind. And so part of praise then is offering to God, bringing forth to God the things that are within us in a form of acknowledging him and demonstrating how good he is. Showing God through our communication and through our actions too. We are praising God because we have this attitude of the goodness of God. Do we know that? Like, do we know that more than than it just says in a book, but do we know it and do we own it? Do we believe it? So much so that we're able to apply the goodness of God to our trial and tribulation, to our suffering, that we can apply our praise to Him because we know He's so good. And I believe that's a big part of having faith. It's not just, if I believe hard enough, something good's going to happen. Faith is we just know what's going to happen. Like there's not a question anymore. The cross replaces the question mark. The cross tells us and answers for us every question that we have because the cross tells us God is good and He bestows that goodness upon us. He wants to bless us, wants to give to us, and He knows how to do it much better than we do. So in verse 16, He says, "Come and hear all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul." Do you see that? So he has something to tell people about. He has a testimony. Right? And if we're going to have a testimony, we have to have a test, right? Otherwise, we'd just have a money. And it's hard to brag about a money. So we have to have a testimony. I stole that, by the way. I didn't, that John Corson said that. So I don't want to get credit for that because I like that too. But it's true, right? So now he has something to brag about God. Didn't Paul say something like that? That his boast is in Christ. And he's saying, I want you to hear what I have to say. So here's another important aspect of praising God is telling other people what God has done and how good He is and saying, I know God is good because this is what He's doing in my life. This is what He has done in my life. This is how he works in my life. And so praise is not just saying stuff to God. Praise is also saying stuff to other people about God, but it's a whole attitude. And that's what we get when we read the Psalms. It's a whole attitude. We talked about this last week. It's an attitude that good stuff just keeps happening to us. It's an attitude that we are the most favorite of God of all people. And I have this shirt that Tom and Tracy gave me. It says, "Jesus loves you, but I'm His favorite." And that's, you know, tongue in cheek, but we're all God's favorite. That's the neat thing. That God doesn't have favorite categories, but all His children are His favorite. He makes us all feel like He's our favorite. And so we praise Him, and we have this added, the attitude of praise is such that we are living in the reality of the goodness of God constantly. And so when you have that, when something really good happens to you, you want to tell people about it, right? You want to share it. There's a way you look. There's a vibe about you that, man, something really good happened to that person. They're just lighting up, and people want to know about that. So that's important. So he says in verse 17, he says, "I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue." So there's the communication of God's praise. But then notice this. He says, this is a very important verse. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Did you get that? If I regard iniquity in my heart. And that word regard means to view with pleasure and delight. If I regard sin in my heart, and I don't repent from it, I don't confess it, I don't say, God, that's not right. I am wrong and you're right. And I'm sorry. But if we continue to harbor sin, known sin in our heart, unrepented sin in our heart, it says right here that God doesn't regard what we're saying. He doesn't, there's a barrier or a block to our prayer life. So yes, it is possible to deceive ourselves, really, and pray and pray and pray and really not get answers or not feel connected to God. And here's the answer. This is not an uncommon thing. There's another scripture, I think it was Peter, who said if we treat our wives bad, then God doesn't listen to our prayer. So there's an incentive right there, if you're married, to really make sure you're taking care of your wife. But see, this is something, and I just really want us to look at that and say, and understand the difference, again, between justification and sanctification. Justification is our salvation. That's the moment we are declared innocent by God. It happens in a moment. It happens through our faith in Jesus Christ as we turn away from our sin and turn to Jesus and put our faith in him, and we're saved. But see, a lot of people, they get so mixed up on this, you're saved. Okay, so that's something in the past. When you're saved, now you are starting the process of what? Yeah, sanctification. So that's completely different. When you mix those two up, you start talking about you have to do things to be saved. Or is a person really saved because they're not doing things? If you're really saved, okay, that's done with. Now you move in a direction of sanctification, which has a lot to do with our works. We don't work to be saved. That's in the past, right? We work now as saved people. That's different. So now that we're saved, we're working as Christians. We're working in harmony with the Holy Spirit. There's works involved. And what does that mean? There's things that we do that prove that we had an experience with God where we've given our life to him and we're a new creation in Christ. The sanctification process is a process of the working of God in and through our life where there's tangible evidence that somebody really is a Christian. Somebody really did get justified. Somebody really did get the Holy Spirit, and somebody really is a new creation in Christ. But we need to be careful, don't we, on the sanctification spectrum, because we may be down the spectrum a little further. We can't think, well, everybody behind me, if they don't do what I do, they must not be saved. There's a spectrum there, right? That's where things can get a little dicey and confusing sometimes. But we see the point here is the importance to really understand that once we're saved, now our life is going in a direction that it wasn't going before. And that doesn't mean we don't have backsliding times or falling off the wagon times, or we're not perfect. None of us are perfect. Sanctification means we're not perfect. But there's direction, there's movement. There's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. There's things happening in a person's life. And so we need to see this very important scripture that says if there's a known sin in our life that's not, that we're not confessing, that we're not bringing before the Lord, that we're not repenting from, then that is going to affect our prayer life. So the answer is, if there's a known sin in your life, in your heart, you just confess your sin to God, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin. That's all there is to it. But there has to be the confession, agreement, and a turning from that sin. So important. But in verse 19, He says, but certainly God has heard me. So he's saying, and there's a lot of sins going on in a lot of these guys' lives, but he has confidence because he's not harboring unconfessed sin in his heart. God's heard me, he's saying. And he has attended to the voice of my prayer. I love that. Think about God attending to you. And I think about when I hear that word, it reminds me of somebody who's really paying attention to you, very concerned about you and what's going on in your life. You know how sometimes you talk to those people that they're like really into what you're saying, like they're leaning in and they're giving you a lot of like, wow, really, and eye contact, and they're just full on into it. And then other people, you're talking to them and you're wondering if they're hearing anything you're saying. And they're looking around and checking their watch. And God is attentive to our prayers. Think about that. That makes me want to pray a lot more. Because in a way, it gets God's attention too. You see that? When we pray, God's attending. He has to give us attention to attend to our prayers. And so when we pray, I just picture God. I don't know how you picture God. I think it's important. You know, when you pray, think about how you see God. And do we see him as just gracious and kind and gentle and loving and compassionate and caring? That's biblically, that's how God is in what we see here. When we're praying, he's attending to us. I hope you don't see God as a mad old man who is looking to strike you down whenever you say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. That's not God of the Bible. God is attentive. And God leads us gently and kindly and perfectly. And we can come to him, the great privilege of the believer, that we can come to him in our time of need. That the throne of grace, the door or the veil has just been flung wide open. God has an open door policy 24/7 for you and I. Boy, when I read this, it makes me want to be a good prayer. And so he says in verse 20, he says, blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer nor his mercy from me. That is so great. So if you're taking notes, this so far we have seven things we can praise God for. Number six is his care for us. And number seven is his mercy for us. So we're going to talk about that a little bit more here. Watch this. So we continue with this idea of praise. And I get the feeling, I get the idea that the psalmist loves to praise God. And you know, I just feel enthusiasm when I'm reading this and studying this. I'm encouraged by it. And watch what happens now. We look at, this is going to be our eighth point. If you're taking notes about praising God. So now we have a lot of ammunition to praise God, right? Hopefully you just at least can do a couple of these if you didn't take notes. But let's just be really good at praising God. At least let's be doers of the word, take this, and just start praising God. But watch this. He says, God be merciful to us, chapter 67, verse 1, and bless us. And cause his face to shine upon us. So now keep in mind, this is somebody praying that just told us God's attentive to my prayers. And I know there's chapter breaks. For us, it's like that. It probably wasn't, this, you know, like he wrote that and then wrote that, right? It's not continuing. It's a different psalm. But it reminds me just of the fact to think about how I can pray to God, and God's attentive, and I can pray, God, be merciful to me, and God, bless me. Bless my life. Now, when we hear the word blessing and we think about God blessing us, think about for a second what that means to you or how you see that. Because I think a lot of times when we think about God blessing us, what we do is we're attaching sometimes the wrong things to that. So, and we talk about this a lot, so you guys aren't completely in the dark on this. But don't make the mistake and think that when I pray, blessing means I'm going to get material things. It may, but that's not the point. Here we're going to see something really important in regards to what God means when he blesses us. Does God bless us with failure? Has failure been good for anybody here? I probably learned way more from failing than I did from not failing. That's a blessing. Watch this, though. So he's saying, be merciful. That's a good prayer. And bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. Verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth. Interesting, huh? He's praying, bless me so that what you do in my life will be a demonstration of how you work. So if we have the idea that God is our slot machine, and when we pray, sevens are going to come up and out comes financial gain because that's what blessing means. Well, what does that say about the way God works? That tells people that God loves money. It tells people that God is materialistic. It tells people that God just wants to heap mounds of money upon us. When the Bible says that the love of money is what? The root of all evil. And probably most of us would have a hard time if we were born, and maybe some of you were, with a silver spoon in your mouth and always had tons of money and never had to struggle and were always wealthy and famous and rich, and we're saying, well, look at what God did in my life. You can say that. I can say that only to the extent that God would be glorified through those finances. And that's the difference. Again, in verse 2, he's asking for blessing that your way may be known in all the earth. So when we pray, we're wanting God to work in our life so that other people will see how God works. So what would that mean? What are the things that we know about how God works? We know that God works in such a way where he's more concerned about our spiritual qualities than our physical qualities. He's more concerned about our eternity than he is about our temporary time on earth. He's more concerned about our relationship to him than he is about our relationship to the things of this world. So when we ask for God to bless us and his face to shine upon us, what we're saying is we want God to work in our life to such an extent where the world would see how he works. The world would see that there's better things than material things. And again, God can bless and does bless people with financial things and things like that. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if that's what we are looking to, and if that's what we are praying for to get rich, when the Bible says that it's harder for a rich man to go to heaven than a camel through the eye of the needle, I think we might be missing the mark. You will be very hard-pressed to go through the New Testament and find any scriptures that talk about how good it is to be rich. You'll find the opposite of that in general. But how many times do we, and especially there's some Christian types of teachers and people that will say that if you pray enough or if you have enough faith, then you'll be rich and wealthy and healthy and all that stuff. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God, being eternal, understanding the value of our soul, putting a large premium on faith, which Peter tells us is much more precious than material things, that God is into developing eternal spiritual qualities in our life. And if there are material things that would interfere with that, God has no problem denying the material things or even preparing the heart so that somebody would be a giver and that material things would not become an idol in their life. God is much more concerned about a relationship with Him than anything else. And so when we're asking for God to bless us, that may mean there are things that come into our life that we wouldn't see as a blessing normally because we're not seeing things as God sees them. And maybe we're placing too much value on things that God doesn't value. When we value our relationship with God above all things, when we value intimacy with God, depth with God, when we value His love and His joy and His peace, when we value those things, then we can say and we can see how God works in our life and what is actually going on is much more appropriate, considering God is an eternal God and knows what's best, not for us just this second, but for all eternity. So the Bible says to build up treasures in heaven, right? Where moth and rust don't destroy. And maybe if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, where the people of faith, a lot of them, it said they look for their reward. That it didn't all happen on this earth. That it was something to go on later. That they looked for a better country. That they were seeking another home. And it saddens me to see so much teaching in the name of God that emphasizes this world without regard to our whole eternity. And the Bible speaks a lot about that. And so we pray for blessing. Think about God, wanting God to work in our life so that people know who He is and how He works. And if we're His bride, the church is His bride, right? Well, think about how God then will care for us. But don't make the mistake, and we've seen this already, don't make the mistake that we would think that blessing means, one, material things, and two, the absence of difficult things. Really hard to read the Bible and think that you're not going to have to go through tough times. It's impossible. Can't read the Bible and ignore that. So don't ever think that because you're going through hard things that you're not being blessed. And now you have just gotten another tool in your tool bag to praise God, because now you can praise God in circumstances that are unfavorable to you in light of what the world says, because you know now that God is doing so much more and cares so much more about you than just getting a thing to happen right now. But God is doing so much more. So we can praise God like people's praise God in the storm kind of thing. But we know we can, and we know why now. Because God is working so much more. And so we need to sort of shift our paradigm, I think, a little bit, and to see that when we go through hard times, that's a blessing too. And, you know, we get in our vocabulary, you know, things like, oh, God's really blessing me. He gave me this and did this. And that's true. But don't say, well, now God's not blessing me because I lost this and this happened and this happened. No, God's blessing you. That's how God works, right? The nature of God, especially we're his bride, and he cares for us. So all his workings are blessing. So now we can praise him for everything. We can't lose, can we? It all works together for good. Imagine being Satan and being how frustrated he must be to a person who understands there's nothing I can do to get to this person. They're just praising God for everything because they know the secret now. That God is working a bigger thing than just that thing. God cares more about their soul in eternity than he cares more about them just getting this thing that they want so bad. Which, by the way, might be an idol in our life. And God's really good about taking care of idols. He doesn't like idols in our life. He doesn't like things in our heart that we want more than him, that we love more than him, that we care about more than him. He'll take those away. He'll take those away. Blessed be the Lord. He gives, he takes away, right? Verse 3. So let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. That's what praise does. It's the goodness of God that we're acknowledging him for, walking in, believing in, trusting in, and there's joy in that. This is a whole different attitude, whole way, different way to live your life. For you shall judge the people righteously. I'm so glad for that. We get so tired. It's so hard to see injustice and weird things and crazy things going on in our world. But God will judge, and he does judge rightly, righteously. It says, and govern the nations on the earth. He says, let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, our own God, shall bless us. Do we see God personally like that? I think that's important. Our God, your God. And he says, you notice there's sort of a connection here. Cause and effect. You see that? Praise him. In verse 6, then the earth shall yield her increase. That's interesting. So there's something that happens in our praise as we praise him. And I don't think that we should praise him so we can get stuff. That, again, is missing it. But I don't want to bypass the fact that when we're praising him, we're in a place of connectivity with him. And the Christian life in that sanctification area is a Christian life that's to be walking with God in agreement, in harmony, no friction in the relationship. When there's no friction in the relationship, and then we're walking with God, the thing I love about that, it's like all green lights. Don't you hate when people tell you no? Don't you hate this, when you're growing up, it's just everything is just know this and know that. Can't do anything. Did you know when you're walking in the Spirit, all the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. When you're walking with God, you don't need any rules or boundaries or any. It's all go for it. We can just completely go for it in God as we're following the Holy Spirit. It's all green lights. When it becomes red lights is when our flesh is kicking in and we're about to go off the road and everything. Then there's all this friction in our relationship with God and we feel it. But when we're going with God and walking in God's will, being led by the Holy Spirit, it's just all green lights. And that's why the Bible says there's liberty in the Spirit. When you're walking in the Spirit, it's just all yes. It's all green lights. It's all go for it. It's all just keep going. But God is good enough when we start to get off track to put up some red lights and some warning signs and things like that. And that's why it's important to know that as we're deciphering and discerning God's will in our life, a big part of that is peace. The book of Colossians talks about that. It says, let the peace of God rule your heart. That word rule means that it's like a referee that tells us no or go. Peace for the believer. But here's the thing. You have to be a believer, which means you have to have the Holy Spirit in you, and you have to be surrendered to God's will, which means basically you have to say, I just really want what God wants. If that's the case, then when we don't have peace, we need to be very cautious and hesitant. There's something wrong because all the promises of God are yes and amen. They're all green lights. They're all go, go, go. They're all move forward. They're all good. They're all progressive. And when we're in the Spirit, that's what it's like. But when we start to not have peace about something, please, I beg you, don't ignore that. It may be, just need to pray it through a little bit more. It may be that there's something that's just a little bit out of sync. But when it's the Lord, you have great peace about it. There's no fear. There's no hesitation. We don't need to hesitate. There's a different feeling about it. I hope you know the difference. And if you don't, just start paying attention to that, about how the peace of God will direct you. That's a very important thing to learn. So I think we left off in verse 6, right? Yeah, okay. And then we're just going to finish with this last verse. It says, God shall bless us. Now we know more about what that means, right? And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. That is amazing. So, if I get this right, if I understand what's going on, when I pray and I ask God to bless me, he will work in my life so powerfully, so astonishingly, so exceptionally, that it will send a message to the world of how amazing God is. And I want to encourage you, be real. Just don't take your life in your own hands and do your own thing and make things happen. And don't do that. Just relax. Just rest in the Lord. There's peace in the Lord. There's not striving and pushing and forcing. With God, everything is just so natural because God is so kind and gentle. But please don't miss this because this is really heavy. That we've seen in this chapter that when God works, and he works through a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different things, hard and easy, great times and not so great times, but they're all the same to God. And that's why we can constantly praise God. But see, here's the big difference. And this is, I just want to get this point out. Here's the big difference. A lot of times, and this is why God more so works on stripping us down than he does on just pouring stuff on us. Because it is a greater testimony of how God works when people see him work through our life when we're down, when the odds are against us, when we're faced with very trying, difficult times, more so than when everything is easy. And sometimes we're ashamed of our testimony or ashamed of things that have happened in our life. We feel bad about how things worked out or the direction things went, the hand that we were dealt. And I want to just tell you that let God work in that so that other people, because I guarantee you, other people need to know that God is a God who cares in those circumstances and can get us through the most difficult, trying things that human beings can go through. And God can do that in such a way where it has an effect on the world. No matter what people say about Christians, they can't deny this, that the person who is faced with the most extreme, hard circumstances and yet praises God through it because they know how good God is, that even if someone like ISIS is going to cut your head off, you can praise God for that because blessed are the persecuted and great is your reward in heaven. That there's nothing that should cause us not to be able to praise God. And so make that a habit, a practice, a lifestyle of praising him and watch how God uses your life to impact the whole world for the kingdom of God for all eternity. And you will say it's worth it. I promise you one day you will say it's all worth it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come again to you and just thank you and praise you. And I think as I read this, it makes me aware of my need to praise you more and make that more important in my life, Lord. And I hope it does all of us. Lord, we have such a neat body here. And we have just such neat fellowship and love and communion together. And Lord, I just want to ask that we would be seen as a body that really, really praises you. I pray that we would be a body that would be a testimony of praise. We love you so much, God. You are worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen.